process.
The survival of the fittest. And besides, it's fun.
Outdoors with John is on the air. This is the Hunting, Camping, and Fishing Show, presented by Northwest Iowa Outdoors, the region's number one outdoor entertainment multimedia outlet. Live from the KSCJ studios in Sioux City, the phone lines are wide open. Call 239-2101 right now with your questions or comments.
Good morning, everybody. The show is brought to us by the City of Kingsley, Small Town Sportsman in Kingsley, Dirt Road Design and Screen Printing in Kingsley, The Shooting Shop in Anthon, Iowa, the Plymouth County Conservation Board, Skyline Lodge in Perrault Falls, Ontario, Iowa Great Lakes Outdoors in Milford, Iowa, Stan's Bait Shop in Milford, and Midwestern Land and Auction in Mapleton, Iowa. Well, the bow seasons are, well, they're either started or they're going to start this weekend, but in all three states, Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota. And in the news, there was, they found some bovine tuberculosis in a few deer in Iowa. And I don't know, it's not a real common thing, but out of the three things that you really find the deer, you know, chronic wasting disease or EHD, which is emzootic hemorrhagic disease, something like that. I don't know, I butchered the pronunciation of that, but anyway, EHD, and sometimes called blue tongue. Those are really not contagious to humans that they found, but the bovine tuberculosis, they found it can be passed from between different mammals, which means, between deer and humans, and it's caused by a bacteria that's found in the mammal, found mostly in cattle and deer, and less commonly in other critters like raccoons, possums, and coyotes. And it's transferred through respiratory secretions. So I guess if you kill a deer that you think might have bovine tuberculosis, you might want not want to jump on its chest and, you know, have it sneeze on you or whatever. But anyway, it says it can be transferred from livestock to humans. And, it's spread throughout, mostly from cattle to deer and then maybe back to other cattle herds and stuff like that. The cattle, they can vaccinate for it and stuff like that, but obviously you're not going to be able to catch all the deer in Iowa and vaccinate them. The chronic wasting disease, that thing's been spreading through all of the, deer-like critters, elk, moose, deer. And up to this point, Iowa has been pretty much immune to the chronic wasting disease, but just across the river in Wisconsin in March, from April 2018 to the end of March of that year, they had tested 1,060 deer, and nearly 400 of them that they tested came back positive with the chronic wasting disease. Now, they claim that that's not contagious to humans, and if you're going to eat the meat, make sure it's well cooked, and then they say to avoid the central nervous system. And I don't know about you, but if I shoot an emaciated-looking deer that's all kind of shriveled up, first thing I'm going for is the brain stem and the eyeballs. I don't know why they would have to tell you to avoid eating the central nervous system. Not real sure how many people eat that anyway.
Yum.
Eyeballs, brain stem, yummy, yummy, yummy. But anyway, they have found chronic wasting disease here this last year in Iowa. They found a few deer infected in northeast Iowa in Dubuque County, and then also some in south central Iowa. So it's just a matter of time before, basically it's going to spread through the rest of the state because they don't have a cure for it. And even if they did have a cure for it, like you say, what are you going to do? You're going to trap every deer in the country and, vaccinate them? I think it's just got to run its course, and the deer that get tough and build up an immunity to it, there you have it. Probably be a reason why we should impeach Trump. Because we didn't have this problem in Iowa before Trump was president.
Yeah.
That son of a bitch. Killing all our deer. But anyway, the EHD is 100% fatal, or the chronic wasting disease is 100% fatal to the deer. And then the other one, a few years ago in this area, we had that EHD. It was pretty bad. I know, like, South Dakota has smoked a large percentage of their deer, but it's called caused by a, or spread by a, I don't know, like a little tiny flea called the midge. It's a tiny midge that spreads it from one deer to the other. And in the drought years, you're going to have a bigger outbreak of the HD because deer are more concentrated around the limited amount of water that's available, and it makes it easier to spread from deer to deer to deer. And there's a misconception that only bucks are affected by it, because most of the people that find the dead deer are bucks. But when they attack them, the bucks are in the velvet, and I think the bucks will get it easier because it's easier for the midge to get onto the velvet than it is to burrow down through the hair, you know, and bite the deer in the body. And and they always seem to find them by the dead ones by water. It's because the HD causes a fever, and the deer in response to that are going to seek out water. They're either going to go stand in the water hole, or they get incredible thirst and they're going to drink lots and lots of water just before they die, and they will die from it. And what happens is that the disease causes a fever, and then the fever will actually cause the cell membranes in the heart, lungs, and diaphragm to weaken and burst. So, yeah, things pretty much die if they can't breathe or don't have blood circulation. Neither one of them's a good thing. So, anyway, if the meat looks and smells fine, it probably is. If you kill a deer and you're wondering about it, the bovine tuberculosis, if you field dress the deer and look inside the rib cage, you'll notice like some weird spots, like almost like bubbles in the inner membrane that lines the inside of the rib cage. And in pronounced cases, you know, you're going to see spots in the meat. But I don't know, if you got any questions at all, you should probably, you know, call the DNR guy, and he'll come out and check out your deer and test it and let you know whether or not you should eat it or should give it to your brother-in-law or whatever. And speaking of deer, let's see, probably should throw out our trivia question. I'm not sure, what are we giving away this week, Scott? We got...
We went spam last week. Let's go MRE this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good old, what kind of MRE do we have? Are you just gonna
grab one at random.
Grab one at random. Awesome. And also the Second Amendment copper coin.
But, and whatever was on the floor of your truck, too, right?
No, I ate most of that stuff. A lot of that stuff on the floor of my truck is actually still good. Huh. I wonder if somebody ate a deer that had bovine tuberculosis down the street.
Or an MRE.
No. Those are fine.
Those are fine. Yeah.
Yeah. We wouldn't give away toxic food. We don't have a lot of listeners where we can risk poisoning one of them. But anyway, what we're looking for are mule deer native to Iowa. Pretty simple question, if you think about it. Are mule deer native to Iowa? And the number is 239-2101. While we're looking for an answer to that. And then also use that same number, 239-2101, or if you're listening outside the Sioux City metro area, outlying states or whatever, dial the 712-239-2101 to get in. You know, I know we've got some people that listen on the internet, and I know there's a group of people in Michigan that like to listen, some guys in Wyoming that have absolutely nothing better to do, because, I mean, they got to... You know, this show's airing an hour early out there for the, you know, so. Anyway, we will be giving away the Heritage Rough Rider revolver in December, and it's a real firearm, not a toy one. It's the real deal, and we chiseled that out of the shooting shop in Anthon. But all you have to do is call in, take part of the show, tell us your favorite outdoor story, whatever you want to do, just call in at 239-2101. And we will have a random drawing out of all of the people that are entered. The first drawing will get the revolver. Second drawing for a brick of 22 long rifle ammo. And the third drawing will be for a custom duck call made by JR's Custom Woodworking in Bronson, Iowa. Oh, the fishing around the area, it's been actually picking up. The water's been cooling down. The fish have been kind of going into a frenzy. Elm and Morse Lakes in Wright County, they still have relaxed fishing regulations there till December 1st of this year. And they're going to remove all the fish from that lake. So ahead of the drawdown of the water in the lake. They are allowing sportsmen to go in there and use any means possible to remove the fish, short of dynamite, poison, electric shocking devices, and any other stupefying substances will not be allowed. So the electric pitchforks that the Chinese people are using in Hong Kong to control the crowds, you wouldn't be able to use one of those there on Elmer Morse Lake if you happen to have one. And I looked for those on eBay, and I don't know where those guys are getting them, but they look like a pretty cool tool. You know, as long as you're not a Chinese protester in Hong Kong. Otherwise, around the area for up at Spirit Lake, the walleye fishing has picked up pretty good, and most of the success is coming off of bottom bouncers, and they're also trolling crankbaits in the basin. And the perch, they're catching a lot of them that are around 8.5 inches on yellow and white mini jigs tipped with wigglers, and they're fishing those outside the edges of the weed beds. East Okoboji, they're catching a lot of catfish after dark. They're also catching a lot of 8 to 9 inch yellow bass on East Okoboji. And most of those fish, they're finding them in the 10-foot of water. And the northern pike are biting real well on East Okoboji also, and they're using spinning baits in the north end of the lake. Trumbull Lake in Clay County, the pike fishing has been real good there, and they've been casting spoons at the spillway and calm areas around the lake, and they are catching a lot of big perch out of Trumbull Lake right now in Clay County. Perch up to 12 inches aren't uncommon there on Trumbull Lake this year. Five Island Lake in Palo Alto County, the catfishing has been real good after dark, and they're also picking up a few walleyes there. Storm Lake, the white bass, is probably your best bet there, and they're fishing crankbaits and night crawlers and twisters from shore and near the inlet. And then crappie fishing has been pretty good there on Storm Lake after dark in the marina. And they're fishing under the artificial lights of the dock. It attracts the bait fish, which attracts the crappies, and they're catching some pretty nice crappies there. Down at Blackhawk Lake, the walleye are biting in Town Bay near the outlet and the inlet bridge. And the bass fishing on Blackhawk has been good. They're using traditional topwater baits along the shore near the weed lines, and that's really any place around the lake. And actually, you'll find them out in the middle of the lake, because you'll find the weed lines are in Blackhawk Lake. The weeds, they pretty much encompass the whole lake if it wasn't for the, the cabbage harvester. It's a weed harvester. It's a barge they run out there that chops the weeds and gathers them up to keep the majority of the lake open. Otherwise, that thing would just weed over completely. But anyway, you find those weed beds out in the middle of the lake, too, and you'll be able to pick up bass off of those. And then also they're catching catfish on the east shore near the outlet inlet bridge and from the shore in Town Bay there on Blackhawk Lake. And I trust we had a winner on the trivia, Scott?
Yes, we did. Jason Creever of Lawton correctly said, no, they're not normal. They're not native.
No, occasionally you'll see one show up in Iowa, but like we were talking before the show, Scott, the chances of an elk show up in Iowa are actually greater than a mule deer showing up.
Ah.
The first evidence I saw of one was in the 1950s in northeast Iowa. A guy had shot one during the gun season, and, he knew it was a deer. But anyway, he took it to a game check station there, and one of the Iowa conservation officers identified it as an actual mule deer. And a couple years ago, there was a guy in south central Iowa had whacked one with his bow. And there again, it was kind of strange because he didn't know that it was a mule deer. He just knew it was a deer, and he whacked it, and he sent pictures to his friend of this kind of interesting looking deer he shot, and then the conservation officers had also seen the photos and told him that he had actually harvested a mule deer.
Well, Jason, for correctly guessing the question, gets a politically correct reduced sodium vegetable lasagna, MRE, which contains egg, milk, soy, and wheat.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds yummy. Actually, they are. I haven't had one of them yet that was I thought was bad.
No, they're pretty good, but have the salt shaker handy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. Oh, I wonder why they didn't put salt in that one.
Not politically correct.
You suppose they made that one when Obama was president?
I think so.
You know, because, I mean, Trump a Trump-made MRE would have extra salt, I think, and handfuls of lard and everything good in there. And that's why we should impeach him. Well, we're past due for the break, so we should probably take our break and we get back.
We'll be right back. 1360-949 KSCJ.
You know, you all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to you. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to the MyPillow.com site right now and click on the new radio listener special. I use MyPillow, and I am sleeping so much better, you can too. Get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattress toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, they're bringing back the BOGO offer for the MyPillows. That's right, buy one pillow and get the other one after. Absolutely free. And remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. So come on, go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter my code KSCJ or call 800-607-2091, 800-607-2091, 800-607-2091 for these great radio specials.
Hear that? That's the sound of thousands of wishes coming true every day at Give Kids the World Village. Here at this magical place, kids with life-threatening illnesses come from all over the world to fulfill one big wish: to visit Central Florida's most awesome attractions. For 1 week, kids, along with their moms, dads, brothers, and sisters, get to stay in our amazing 70-acre resort in Central Florida. They get tickets to the area's coolest attractions, and believe me, there are tons of those. They get to eat yummy meals every day, including ice cream for breakfast. It's an awesome place that gives these special kids what they need more than anything: a chance to feel normal and have fun. And here's the best part. This fantasy vacation doesn't cost kids or their families a thing. We count on the support of caring people and companies to keep the magic alive. And the kids laughing. To learn how you can help, visit givekidstheworld.org. Give Kids the World. It's where happiness inspires hope.
Big John. Big John.
Well, next Saturday is a big day up at Hillview Recreation Area. That's when they're going to have their Halloween at Hillview event. And people can take their kids up there and trick-or-treat with the campers. And as of right now, both campgrounds are completely full. But they will have room if you just want to go up there and park along the road on the way into the campground and pass out candy. You can still do that. And they're also going to have food vendors there. So we need to get up there this year, Scott, because they're going to have that that outfit that does the stone-fired pizza or whatever, the stone-cooked pizza. I can't remember the name of that. I don't know. But they're going to be there this year. I don't know. I can't remember the name of it. I just know I want to go eat some of their pizza. But anyway, that's next Saturday. And thanks to everybody who gave to the Plymouth County Conservation Foundation last week during the Siouxland Big Give. I'm not sure what the total amount was that they got for their projects there up there, but everything that they get, they're going to use it towards the improvement of the additional 300 acres that they have added to the Hillview Recreation Area. They're reseeding that ground to prairie grass, and they're also going to expand their disc golf course from the current 9 holes to 18. And then also they're going to establish a hiking, biking, and equestrian trail through the area too that'll tie into the other trails that are already in the park. And speaking of the disc golf course, I'm not real sure. The disc golf always sounded like it was kind of intriguing to me. I wonder, can you drink as much beer while you're playing disc golf as you can while you're playing real golf?
Problem is you don't have a cart.
You could use a cart, though, couldn't you?
Boy, I have no idea.
Well, it'd be kind of, well, I know like at Hillview, you'll see those cages that they throw that disc into, and some of them are in some pretty treacherous areas. I don't know how you would get in there with a cart or like with a wheelchair.
Hmm.
Well, they got some of them wheelchairs. They're kind of cool. They're like got tracks on them, like army tanks.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
And they can cover quite a bit of terrain with those. It's actually pretty interesting. I've seen them where they take them out on a dock and ride damn things down into a boat and then back out again.
Hmm.
And it's like, wow, that's a pretty awesome deal for, you know, somebody who's, you know, wheelchair bound.
Hey, that pizza place is going to be up there next weekend, Catalano's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
That just sounds great.
It does.
I wonder if they have, like, spam on, and they got a spam pizza. I bet they got bacon.
Probably
got
to bring your own spam.
Yeah. They probably got a bacon for a topping, though.
Oh, sure.
I mean, what kind of a pizza place wouldn't have taco for a topping? I mean, that's just, it's just uncalled for.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, looks like we don't really have anybody calling right now. I guess maybe nobody wants to win that revolver. It's a pretty simple deal. Just call 239-2101 with a story.
You know, I suppose another way you could do it would be to send us an email of your outdoor event to kscjweekends@gmail.com.
And you know how to read those if they come in?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Oh, well, we can do that. Or I guess they could text it in, too, couldn't they? We got a text number here. It's 712-239-2101, I believe.
That is correct.
You do not use the one when you're texting. I think that's how it works. But anyway, I got a news story here that's, looks like we do have a caller on there. But anyway, this is a quick story, but a Venezuelan man was clinging to a buoy moments before being rescued by the Dutch Caribbean Coast Guard when he is attacked by a shark and died while being transported to a hospital. So, seven Venezuelan men were on board a vessel traveling from the island of Bonaire to Aruba off the Venezuelan coast carrying whiskey. When the vessel capsized, two crew members went down with the ship. Four others survived by holding onto a refrigerator and a pallet. The survivors were hospitalized in Aruba for dehydration. A rescuer was being lowered from the Coast Guard helicopter and was about to save the seventh man who was holding onto a buoy, but a shark attacked him first. Coast Guard spokesman told the Associated Press. So that goes into the category of, wow, you thought you had a bad day.
Yeah. Hey, Steve has got a story for us. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I sound kind of lonely with you guys, so I thought I'd liven it up.
Oh, you bet.
So about 3 weeks ago, I was out in Breckenridge, Colorado, and I was golfing, and I had a cart, but not with tracks on it. So anyway, it's misty by like today, misty, windy. I'm going up the seventh hole, and I'm thinking, you know, I shouldn't complain. People pay good money to go to Ireland and play in these conditions. So I'm getting off the seventh green. I see something off to my left, and it's like, I actually thought I saw a golf cart over there. It's like, what the heck are they doing over there? So I have my golf club, and I take about 15, 20 steps, and I look to the left, and here comes a bull moose headed my way. Just kind of slowly trudging up to him. I was like, oh, boy. So I start backing up, but it doesn't seem to be too worried about me. So then it takes a little right through some small trees, and it's actually headed towards the fairway. I thought, oh, okay, I can lean over and take a picture of this, even though I'll be going the other way. So I'm just about ready to take a picture on my phone, and I hear some more noise. It's the second bull moose, larger than the first. And now it's like, oh, you just had to go and get that picture, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So
hey, Steve.
Up, but I'm thinking exit plan, because I know this thing on the short run can outrun me, but it goes towards the other moose. And long story short, they end up...
when you gotta go, you gotta go.
CBS News update. Congressional Democrats are issuing a subpoena to the White House for documents related to the whistleblower complaint. CBS's Ben Tracy is at the White House.
The White House is resigned to the fact that this impeachment inquiry is already underway, but the president wants House Democrats to have to go on the record formally supporting